Welcome, my name is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and we thank you for taking some time to listen to some audio recordings from the pulpit of the Riverview Baptist Church. Our desire is to show the Lord high, holy, and lifted up, as well as try to be a blessing to those through the Word of God. Please enjoy this message, and we pray that it will be a blessing to your life. Well, at this time, we're going to have our preacher, guest preacher come up, Mike Petrico. He is the representative and works out of Liberty Baptist Church and representative of Lighthouse Baptist Press, where they have the ministry of printing Bibles and works to go to the mission field to help missionaries, to help local churches like ours. We're thankful for how they put together. Of course, I'm familiar with Rapid City, South Dakota, spending my last 2 years of high school there before I found out it was legal to leave and join the military and said, get me somewhere warm. But we're thankful for it. It's kind of weird how I met them, though. It was actually one of our supporting missionaries who said, if you need John and Romans, look them up. I think it was a missionary, Brandon Cook, in Italy, right? Good. And which is a longtime friend of mine, and we're thankful for that and be able to connect with them and build a relationship together. They've already given this local church over 20,000 John and Romans, which we've passed out in previous years, and looking forward to another 10,000 coming up this next coming year, where we get to pass out John and Romans and give the Word of God to people and get it in their hands. And I'm so thankful for the privilege to be able to have him come up and visit with us once again and open up the Word of God and be an encouragement to us. So, preacher, if you wouldn't mind coming up and be an encouragement to the Word of God. And I am so thankful that you and your dear wife, Miss Lisa, are here.
Amen. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, preacher.
Thank you. Turn your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 tonight. Did you find your places there? You know, you can't come to this church without being around your pastor, without being encouraged. I mean, it's such an encouragement. He's just always so positive, right? Every time we come here, just always upbeat. And if you're having a bad day, I mean, he'll lift you up just by being around him. Just so encouraging. And I just really love coming to this church and just feeling that joyful spirit. And we come here every time. It's really an encouragement to me. You know, Pastor was talking about Brandon's testimony there of how the Lord was dealing with him and got his attention there. Just kind of reminded me, this isn't part of my message tonight, but just kind of reminded me a little bit about what the Lord did in my life. You know, for me, I stayed back in the seventh grade. I was in trouble all the time, gotten drugs, drinking, all those kinds of things, and stayed back in the seventh grade. And, you know, I was considered a loser, a failure, someone who would never succeed in life. But that's when I met Christ, and that's when everything changed. Because it wasn't me. I was going nowhere fast. But once I got a hold of the Lord Jesus Christ, once he showed me that I was a sinner and that I needed a Savior, that's when everything changed. It changed my heart. And it was a heart change. It wasn't just a superficial thing. And God really did a work in my life. And you know, everything that I have, being in the military, 22 years serving our country, and now being in ministry, is all because of the Lord, all because of that decision, that one day where I gave my life to Christ. You know, old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. I was walking towards sin one day, and when I repented of that sin, turned around, never turned back. And God's done a wonderful work, and I give him all the glory for what he's been doing in my life over these years. Tonight, here I want to talk about 2 Corinthians 4 and verses 8 and 9. We'll get there in a second, but you know, I think it's an understatement to say that all of us have experienced some hardships and difficult situations lately, especially with COVID and all the challenges we had to go through with COVID, right? I know for us, it was challenging there. And then you look at what's going on in Washington, D.C., and all the craziness and the policies and things they're trying to do there in Washington. You know, there's just a lot of things that's making it difficult for us who don't believe the same way they believe. We're trying to force things on us that we know are not true or not according to the Bible. You think of the transgender issues and those kinds of things that are going on out there. They're trying to push our way. You know, the crime bills and those kinds of things and gun control issues, all those things. You know, if they push all that legislation through, a lot of us don't agree with those policies, but we're going to have to live with it. You know, those are things that are coming down the road here. There are challenges that we're going to have to face, persecutions even, to some degree. Well, tonight I want to look into the life of Paul, and see how he dealt with some difficult situations. He didn't have gun control issues and those kinds of things to deal with back then, but he certainly had some issues to deal with, persecution, difficulties, challenges, those kinds of things. So we're going to take a look at that, and I trust that it'll be an encouragement to you as we look into the Word of God and see how Paul dealt with these situations that we can also apply to our lives as well. But before we do that, let's go ahead and go before the Lord in prayer. Father in heaven, Lord, we do thank you for this church. We thank you, Lord, for their support of our ministry and, Lord, their love for us, their love for your word. And I just pray, Lord, that you would bless our time together tonight as we open up your word. Lord, that you'd speak to hearts. Lord, we love you and we can't get through this life without you. We need to just continue to look forward, to look to you, to look to your word. That's what's going to get us through. And Lord, we ask for your blessing now. Set down upon us here this evening. Open the eyes of our hearts so that we may glean the truths that you need us to glean tonight. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So as you know, Paul didn't allow the difficulties that he faced to destroy his outlook on life. Didn't allow him to hamper his effectiveness for the Lord, if you will. He was sold out for God. No matter what he was going through, no matter what the challenges were, he kept focused. He kept focused on what the Lord wanted him to do there. And that's a good reminder for us today as well. You know, especially now that, people in Washington are trying to uproot our foundation, right? Trying to change things, trying to change our history with this, what is it, CRT or whatever it is. They're trying to just erase the history from our history books here. But I just want to say this about that, while I may. You know, God worked in the hearts of our founders to develop our nation's governing document, right? The Constitution. And as you read the Constitution, you find that it contains many principles that are found in God's Word, right? A lot of things are founded from our Constitution. They got right from God's Word there. Now, a lot of the founders were not of our same stripe, per se, but they had a fear and they had a reverence for God and for God's Word. And now what we're seeing in our country today is exactly what happens when people fear man more than they fear God. And that's what we're seeing happen here. Proverbs 19:23 says, "The fear of the Lord tendeth to life." It doesn't say the fear of man, right? "The fear of the Lord tendeth to life, and he that hath it shall abide satisfied." But the direction that we're headed as a country is a clear example of people not being satisfied, right? People are doing what seems right in their own eyes. Therefore, God and the Constitution are just being left out. Even so-called ministers in Congress, back in January, you may have heard this. There was a Methodist minister, I believe, back in that time there, giving in to the cancel culture, turning his back on God there. I think he was from Missouri. He concluded his prayer with the opening prayer for the Congress, I believe. He concluded his prayer by saying amen. And that's normal, right? We say amen at the end of our prayers. But he also added something else. He said, "Amen, and a woman." I don't know if you heard that one before, but I mean, amen has nothing to do with gender. But you know, they're given into this cancel culture thing. They're given into the ways of man, and they're trying to please man rather than please God. That's what's going on here. You know, God has not abandoned America. America has abandoned God, right? America is turning her back on God. So as we endure these increase in challenges and persecutions and those kinds of things, we need to be ever mindful of the importance of never deviating from the Word of God, never deviating from following God's Word, and always fearing God more than we fear man. You know, God's Word is truth, and that's the last defense we have left to hold on to, right? As our country goes off the rails, we have the truth of God's Word. We need to hold on to that. We need to preserve it. We need to hide God's Word in our heart because the challenges are going to come. We're going to face challenges that we never thought of here very soon, probably. But we need to never let go of the truth. That was all free. That wasn't part of my message. I just needed to let you know that there. So I feel better. So let's move forward. So if you found your place, 2 Corinthians 4, Paul is trying to comfort the church here, and he's using the backdrop of his sufferings, if you will, to put things in perspective as he's moving through here. So let's pick it up in verses 8 and 9 of 2 Corinthians 4. Paul says this, he says, "We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed." So we see Paul do that by living for Christ and maintaining his standard, that there would be hardships there would be sufferings. I'm sure many of you, as you made that decision to follow Christ, that you may have experienced some hardships, some sufferings, maybe with the lifestyle change, that you didn't do the things that maybe you're hanging out with the wrong group of folks and they wanted you to come. And you had to make a decision and maybe they gave you a hard time over. You know, maybe there's things like that that happened there. We know that Paul was in prison for preaching. He was beaten. He was stoned. He was shipwrecked. He's gone without food. And throughout all of this, do we ever see Paul quitting or giving in? We never see him quitting or giving in, do we? Right? He kept his focus in the right place. He remained faithful to the cause of Christ. And that should be our example today as well. We need to remain faithful to the cause of Christ, no matter what's going on around us, all the challenges and all the persecutions that we face. So despite all that's going on around us today, we must never give up. But we must remain faithful to the cause of Christ. So the title for my message tonight comes from the last part of our verses there, where it says, cast down, but not destroyed. So we're going to look into that today, and I trust it'll be an encouragement as we move along here. But Paul's reminding us that just because things may not go our way in life, maybe we'll be faced with hardships or challenges for doing the right thing. Maybe you have to stand up to a neighbor or stand up to a coworker or stand up to a family member even for, you know, doing the right thing. You know, these things, we'll be faced with those challenges. Sometimes when those come, that should not cause us to give up and quit, right? Just because maybe we're getting bombarded by some difficulties in life or people are giving us a hard time or whatever, we shouldn't just up and quit, right? We need to stay focused. We need to stay on that right path. Let's back up to verse 1 here. I want to just give a little more context in chapter 4, verse 1. We'll read through verse 7. It says, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Verse 3 says, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, and in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. We certainly have seen that going on around in our day, right? The God of this world, Satan, has blinded the eyes of men. So as we continue here, says, blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is in the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ, Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servant for his sake. And verse 6 says, for God, who commended the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. So again, you know, God has given us the message of the gospel. And at Lighthouse Baptist Press, we want to get the gospel message out. We want to get that to those who don't know Christ. And churches like this church help us in your support of our ministry. We can't do it without you. So we want to get the message of the gospel out. We are to proclaim his truth to the world. That was Paul's purpose. And that needs to be our purpose too, is to get the gospel to those who are lost. The religious system during Paul's day sought to hide the gospel, but Paul sought to reveal the gospel. And that's what we need to do. We need to reveal the gospel, to stand up for truth despite the persecution, and keep moving forward. You know, in order for us to accomplish our purpose of telling others about Christ, we may have to suffer some persecution sometime, don't we? We may have to go through some struggles and some challenges as we proclaim Christ to others. You know, how many of us have ever been door knocking before, and maybe someone's closed the door in your face, say, I don't need that. I don't need what you have, right? Why? Because they're distracted by the phones or distracted by other things. You know, there's an emptiness that God gave us that can only be filled by Christ, by his word. And people are trying to fill that emptiness with other things instead of Christ. And that's why they close the door in our face, and, you know, they don't want what we have. But they really need what we have. They just don't know it. And so we can't give up. We got to keep pressing on. We got to keep knocking on those doors and, you know, giving them tracts or whatever it is. You know, God is merciful to us as sinners, and he's given each of us unique talents and abilities and resources, you know, as we get through life to accomplish his plan and purpose. I can reach people that you guys can't reach, You can reach people that I can't reach, right? He's given you opportunities, unique talents and abilities in the places where you are, in your families and your friends and the workplaces and those kinds of things. You know, we need to be proactive about getting his word out there. Ephesians 2, verse 4 says, God is rich in mercy. He's rich in compassion. He's rich in understanding. And, you know, I'm sure thankful that he didn't run out of his mercy when he got to me, amen. You know, I sure needed a lot of it when I was going through it back in the day there. You know, it's by his mercy that we must not faint. We must never give up as we move forward for Christ, as Paul said there in verse 1. So let me ask you a question. Are you being faithful to proclaim the gospel to where God has placed you? In your families, in your workplaces, and circle of friends, wherever you are you being faithful to give out the gospel, to be a testimony? Maybe you're having to endure some challenges or hardships as you give out the truth or as you witness to others. I just want to encourage you, faint not, my friends. Faint not. Just keep moving forward. Keep giving out the gospel. Keep doing what God has impressed upon your heart to do. And there will be fruit. You know, you just got to keep sowing. You just got to keep sowing, and you'll reap. If we faint not. So you just keep your focus on Christ and know that he will get you through if you don't give up. You know, there's many religions of the world out there that try to get our focus off of Christ, right? Just do these seven things or these, you know, 4 points or whatever it is, and then you'll be in favor with God. Well, that's not the way to look at things. That's not what he wants us to do. While these so-called religions preach doing something to earn God's mercy and favor, the gospel reminds us that it's already done. Amen? It's already done, right? It's finished. We don't need to add anything to it or take anything away from it. Just simple faith, we can confidently believe that what the pages of our Bible says, we can move forward despite what people around us are telling us. Hebrews 11:6 says that without what? Without faith, it is impossible to please him, right? So we need to have that faith to move forward. Though there might be challenges, storms around us brewing, right? We may not understand what's going on. But if God's pointing us in a certain direction, just have that faith that he'll get you through. Have that faith to keep praying for that family member, for that, you know, lost loved one or coworker, whatever it is. Just have that faith to keep moving on. At one point, Paul was living according to the world, wasn't he? He was living a faithless life, doing what seemed right in his own eyes there, but then he met Christ on the Damascus Road, right? It was that saving faith that changed everything for him. And Paul never forgot it. After his conversion there, he said this in Philippians 3:8-10. He says, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung. I don't have to explain what dung is, right? Count them but dung, things that are waste, right? That I may win Christ. And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. And that's what we need, folks. We need to have that faith. When we realize that we are saved by his grace through faith, it's like a new day, right? It's like a fresh start, as I mentioned for me. You know, I was going down the wrong road, doing the wrong things, and I wasn't following God at all, hanging with the wrong crowd. But once I accepted Christ, it was like a new day. It was like a fresh start, put a spring in my step, right? And I'm sure for those that know Christ, that accepted Christ as your Savior, you have that experience. You're a new person, new creature, right? And that's what it's like. As you think about your life tonight, can you recall a time when you had that new beginning? Maybe there's some here tonight that never accepted Christ as their Savior. I encourage you tonight, don't leave this place without getting that settled. Without getting that settled, God wants to change your heart. He wants to change your life and do something that you have no idea that he wants to do it. I had no idea that he wanted me to go into the military. I mean, I was hanging around with the wrong crowd doing bad things, and that was the furthest thing from my mind. But, you know, when the Lord changes you, he puts his desire and his drive in your heart to do what he wants you to do so you can be a witness and a tool for him. So if you're not saved, get that settled tonight. See myself, Pastor, after the message here. Take care of that tonight. You know, after we renounce those hidden things of the heart there, those secret sins in our heart, as we read about in verse 2 there, after we confess our sins and trust the one who paid the price for our sin debt, the truth of the gospel lives in us, and we must not hold it in. We must not hold it in, right? If we're Christians, if we know Christ, we must not hold that in. We must give it out. As we get to know his word, we need to share his word. So let me encourage you tonight again, you know, if you're not 100% sure, get that settled. Get that settled. Paul was sincere about following Christ and sharing the gospel. How about you? Are you sincere about sharing Christ? Are you sincere about knowing Christ? Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9:16, he said, "Woe unto me if I preach not the gospel." He had to just get it out, right? He knew Christ and he just wanted to share the love of Christ with others. He couldn't hold that in. Do you have that burning desire? Do you have that burning desire to share Christ with those around you that you just can't hold back? That you're just so anticipating talking to that family member, that friend, that coworker, and you just can't wait to see them because you want to share the love of Christ with them. That's what we need to have. We need to have that drive and that desire to just have that that burden for the lost. My daughter-in-law's sister, our son just got married, as I mentioned. So his wife's sister, she's been really diligent about giving out our John Romans. Since last summer, she's handed out hundreds of them. Hundreds of John Romans. They had people cutting the trees down in her yard. She's handing out John Romans. And in stores that she's at, candy stores, whatever, handing out the John Romans. And she keeps asking for more because she has a burden. She has a burden to tell others about Christ, about their need of a Savior, about the sin that they have in their life that need to give that to Christ and get under the blood of Christ. And do you know how old she is? She's 8 years old. She's 8 years old and she's given out hundreds of John Romans. And you know, that's the faith that God wants us to have. That childlike faith, right? Not being embarrassed, not being afraid, not being ashamed, but just trusting Christ. If God has impressed upon your heart, if we're Christians, if we know Christ as our Savior, we should want to tell others about Christ, right? It's like beggars. If you know where to get bread from, right, you're going to tell other beggars where the bread is. You're not going to leave it to yourself, right? Or you shouldn't anyway. You want to be helpful in that way, right? So we want to let other people know about Christ, and she's been very diligent about that. You know, I heard a missionary say this. I heard him say, if you're not fishing, then you're not catching, right? Makes sense, right? If you want to go catch fish, you got to go out there and fish. And if you're not going to fish, then you're not going to catch anything, right? So we need to get out there. We need to shake the bushes, whatever it is, to tell others about Christ. Verses 3 and 4 of this chapter here talk about the God of this world and how he has blinded the eyes and the minds of those who do not believe. And it's painfully obvious during the presidential election and all the riots and those kinds of things that people are blinded to the truth, right? There's so much that you're like, how in the world do they not see this? They're just blinded to the truth. They're lost. I mean, what do you expect? People are lost, right? They don't have Christ, so they don't know. That's what lost people do. The only thing that's going to fix our country is not reelecting President Trump, right? I mean, that'll be helpful, but that's not going to fix our country. Our country needs to have a good old-fashioned revival. That's what needs to happen. We need to be a turning back to God, not turning our back on God, right? We need to keep turning to God. That's what's going to change our country. And I don't know how bad it has to get before people wake up, but that's what we need. We need that revival in America. I'm so encouraged. I was sharing with Pastor earlier. Our teens went on their teen camp, and I think my wife was sharing as well. With the ladies, but our teens got back from a teen camp here just a couple weeks ago, and they got back on a Saturday, and that Sunday night service was dedicated for testimony time. And those kids, boy, the Lord got a hold of their hearts. It was just amazing what the Lord did in their lives. Kids got saved at camp, and then during testimony time, they're like, you know, I got to get this right. I've been lying to my parents, and I haven't been reading my Bible like I told them I was reading my Bible. And they were crying, and they were weeping, and they were getting their hearts right. They were confessing sin. This went on for 3.5 hours. A 3.5 hour Sunday night service. That was just amazing to see what the Lord was doing. And kids were taking their cell phones. They're like, you know, this is such a distraction and we don't want these cell phones anymore. They were throwing them from the pulpit into the middle aisles. And we're like, and there's like, I don't know, 6 or 7 phones on the floor by the time the night was over. It's amazing to see what God is doing in the lives of our teens. And then not just our teens, but we had teens from Utah visit with us just last week. They helped in our print shop. They took a missions trip out there, and just really, really good group of kids, and their hearts really are tender, and we listened to some of their testimonies when they got home and how the Lord dealt with them on that trip and just spoke to their hearts, and they were just very compassionate on each other. They were crying and all that. So the Lord's doing a work in our young kids, and that's encouraging to see because it's going to start with the youth. You know, it's got to be in the youth. We have to have a strong youth because they're going to be our future leaders. So it's just really neat to see what God is doing there. So I'm praying for y'all's camp that's coming up here in two more weeks or so. That's a blessing. We'll be praying for that, praying for the Lord to move amongst the teens here in this area as well. But we need to stay the course, right? We need to not be discouraged and not let the enemy take us down every turn for preaching the gospel or for sharing the gospel, right? We need to stay the course and be focused on our mission that Paul mentions here in verse 5. It says to preach not ourselves, but to preach Christ. We need to preach Christ, right? Verse 6 says, God who commended the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts to give the light, right? We need to give the light out, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So it's up to us, folks. It's up to us to give out the gospel. We should not be holding on to the light, but we need to give it out. That's why we print John Romans. That's why we knock on doors. That's why we need to be a testimony to those around us. We had folks working on our house. We had some roof damage and stuff, and we gave out a bunch of John Romans to those folks. And it was really neat because I don't know if you've ever had to go through a hail type of an event where it did a lot of damage in a certain area, but you have contractors coming and going, knocking on your door saying, I'll fix your roof, I'll fix this, I'll fix that. We must have had 6 or 7 contractors come before we settled on one. So we already had our roof scheduled for a repair, but a couple days later, this other contractor comes by. And we had everything already set, but I was going to listen to him anyway. And he was a young guy, 23 years old. And we start talking, and I told him, you already have things taken care of. And he's like, well, what do you do? And I told him, I'm a missionary. And, we go around, we print John and Romans. He's like, really? And I had probably about a 20-minute conversation with him about the gospel. I took one of our John Romans. I showed him very clearly, the plan of salvation and took him through all that. And I said, you came here wanting to fix my roof, but the Lord brought you here because he wants to fix your heart. And that was just a neat opportunity to witness. You got to be ready. I was just home working or doing something, and he shows up. But, you have to have a track ready. Have a John Romans ready. Have something ready. Be ready to share what God has done, for the hope that's inside of you, right? And you need to be ready to do that, to be a testimony, to be a witness. And that's what we need to do, not holding that in. In verse 7 that we just read there, Paul says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. When Gideon took 300 men to free the land of the Midianites there in Judges 7, each man carried 3 things to battle. Carried a trumpet, a torch, and a clay pitcher. Now, they were instructed to carry their torches in their clay pitchers so that the light could not be seen as they were, coming and surrounding the area. But it wasn't until they surrounded the Midianites and blew the trumpet that they broke those pitchers and that the light was able to shine forth. That's a picture of what God wants us to happen to us, right? We need to be broken. We need to be broken. Our hearts need to be broken so his light can shine forth, so the gospel can go forward there. We need to be broken, humble, obedient, so the light of Christ can not only shine in us, but then shine through us as well. But the problem today is that many folks are not willing to be broken. They're not willing to suffer the hardships and the challenges, right? They want to kind of have the nice, comfy, easy road of life there. A familiar verse in Revelation 3:16 says this, so then because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. And with all the hardships and persecutions around us today, we need to stand strong. We need to stand our ground, amen? We need to be willing to suffer hardships and be broken so his light can shine. Too many are straddling the fence, if you will. They're kind of wishy-washy, if that's a word there, right? Lukewarm. The Lord doesn't want us to be lukewarm, right? We need to be on fire for God. We need to be as hot as we can be and giving out the gospel and not be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. You can't have your way and God's way at the same time. You need to let him use you and be on fire for Christ. Paul made his decision clear there. He knew his vessel had to be broken to be effective for Christ, and he knew he would have to suffer some hardships. And that leads us to our verses here in 2 Corinthians 4, 8, 9. So in the time we have left here tonight, I want to quickly look at these expressions, if you will, that Paul makes and encourages the church to keep moving forward despite some of the hardships there. First, in verse 8, Paul says, we are troubled, but not distressed. The word troubled there That means to be pressed or squeezed, pressured or squeezed, like when you squeeze a grape, right? You take some grapes or something and you kind of can squish it in your hand and the juices flow all over the place there. I used to joke with my son, we'd kind of wrestle around a little bit, and I'd say, I'm going to squeeze you like a grape. I'm going to squish you like a bug or something like that, right? That's kind of the picture here. Paul was certainly feeling the pressure of the ministry closing in all around him, and he's feeling squeezed, if you will, but he was not distressed. He did not burst under the load. Amen. Paul also uses this word troubled here in 2 Corinthians 7:15 when he says, for when we were coming to Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, but were troubled on every side. Without were fightings, within were fears. So the pressure that they were feeling was real there. And Paul felt the same kind of pressure as he entered Macedonia, yet he still continued to let his light shine. He didn't give in. He didn't give up. So even though Paul had that constant pressure around him and he felt like he couldn't go any further or do any more, the Lord gave him strength to continue. Amen. Continue to minister and to preach and to labor for the glory of God. So no matter how tight or how difficult things become, no matter how troubled you may feel, there's a God in heaven who will always grant you more and give you more liberty, more strength to serve him, so the light of the gospel can go forward. Amen. That second expression there Paul uses in verse 8 is, we are perplexed, but not in despair. Perplexed, but not in despair. By perplexed, Paul is saying that he doesn't understand what's going on around him. He's unable to see a way to escape his struggles and pressures. You know, when I got saved, I was perplexed that God was moving me in a certain direction. I couldn't understand it. He impressed upon my heart to do something that I never even thought I'd be able to do in my entire life. He impressed upon my heart to learn how to fly airplanes. And I'm like, I'm a flunky. You know, I don't know how to study. I'm a loser. I'm a failure. You want me to learn how to fly airplanes? What are you doing here? I was perplexed. That didn't make sense to me. And that's kind of what he's talking about here. Being perplexed, it just didn't kind of make sense. You can almost hear the anxiety in Paul's voice as he describes what he's going through there. But you can also see the confidence that he has in Christ. Was he troubled? Absolutely, he was troubled. But he was not distressed. Was he perplexed? Most certainly he was perplexed, but he was not in despair. He wasn't stressed out about it, right? And that's the way we need to be. Don't be in despair. Don't be stressed out about these things. God is in control. And Paul kept his focus on the things of God. And he was able to endure and continue serving God. And that's what we need to take away from that as well. Though we might be perplexed, though we might be distressed, all those things, don't lose your focus on God. He'll get you through. He'll get you through. Keep moving forward. So Paul's encouraging the church to rise above the challenges that they may be facing. And he reminds them that there is a God in heaven who will get them through. What a timely reminder for us today as well. There's a God in heaven that'll get us through no matter what we're going through. When you experience challenges or hardships in your life, look to the cross. Don't be afraid. Don't back down, right? Let the Lord use those challenges to grow your faith or to show you faith. Follow his leading and he'll give you that strength to endure. That third expression there is in verse 9. When he says this, he says, he was persecuted but not forsaken. Persecuted may sound like a hard word, and I'm not saying that any amount of persecution is easy, right? Persecution is not fun. But being persecuted means to chase after or to pursue. So Paul was being chased by the devil, if you will, and his enemies of the gospel. And he was being persecuted for serving the Lord. 2 Timothy 3:12 says this, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. That's all of us, right? If we're living godly in Christ Jesus, we're going to go through some hardships. We're going to go through some challenges. We're going to suffer persecution. But being persecuted, you know, we need to use that as opportunity to draw closer to Christ. It's going to happen to us at some point. But listen to what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5, verses 10 through 12 regarding persecution. He says this, he says, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice, he says, and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. So we can be overjoyed when we're going through those things, right? I know it's hard to look at the positive side sometimes, but you know, when we're going through the challenges, be encouraged. Be encouraged by the words of Christ here. It said, "Blessed are they which are persecuted." Paul faced a much greater degree of persecution than we ever know or that we'll ever face in our lives. Yet he was not forsaken, and he didn't stop preaching the gospel. And we shouldn't stop either, amen? Shouldn't stop preaching, shouldn't stop teaching, and shouldn't stop giving out the gospel. There's a list of Paul's persecutions there in 2 Corinthians 11, 23, 28. We don't have time to look at those. You can look at them later, but we mentioned a few earlier where he was imprisoned, he was stoned, he was shipwrecked, right? He was beaten. But if you're saved and you're serving God and simply living according to the principles found in his word, you will be persecuted. You will go through persecution to some degree or another. Maybe this year we'll see and feel persecution on a scale that we've never seen before in our lifetime, especially in the day that we're living when wrong seems right and right is wrong. It's just kind of backwards today, isn't it? Maybe a small amount of persecution we felt. I don't know how things were here with your church during COVID, but I know for us, we live in South Dakota, so it was a little easier. But you know, because we were still meeting and we had people in our community, they weren't happy about that. They put nasty notes on our door saying, "What are you doing?" and those kinds of things. You know, we're going to call the public health, blah, blah, blah. Well, that didn't stop us from meeting, right? We weren't going to, just that little bit of persecution there. That's a very small taste, but you know, who knows what's going to happen here in the future. Pastors in churches across the United States, maybe you heard about the ones in California and even Canada, had to endure a lot more deeper persecutions where they even being fined. They were put in jail. Some church, I believe in Canada, they had a fence put around their church or something like that. They couldn't even meet and those kinds of things. I mean, that's some pretty deep persecution there. What are we going to do if that happens? What are you going to do if that happens to this church? What are we going to do in South Dakota if that happens to our church, right? Are we going to say, okay, well, we'll just kind of give in, not go to church? Or are we going to stand strong, right? We need to stand strong when we're being persecuted. And God will bless when we do that. Persecution is real. And here in verse 9, Paul gives us some insight in how he dealt with it. Paul says, persecuted, but what? But not forsaken. Amen. Not abandoned, right? Not forgotten by God. So even though we might be going through some challenges or some persecutions in our life, right? God's not going to forget us. We're not going to be forgotten. We're not going to be abandoned there. Paul's reminding us that no matter how bad things get, the Lord will never leave us, right? He says he'll never leave us nor forsake us. Jesus promised that here when he said in Matthew 28:20, he says, "And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." And then Hebrews 13:5 says, "I will never leave you or forsake you." Acts 18:9-11, the Lord is reminding Paul here that he didn't leave him. It says this, "Then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision, Be not afraid, but speak, and hold not thy peace, for I am with thee, and no man shall set thee to hurt thee. For I have much people in this city." And he continued there a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. So he was able to continue even a year and 6 months past when they thought it was going to be all done there. Paul knew he was not forsaken or forgotten. And even though he was troubled and he was perplexed and he was persecuted, the Lord still gave him strength to endure another year and a half there. So the final expression we'll look at here before we close tonight is the last part of verse 9 when he says this. He says, "Cast down, but not destroyed." That's the title of my message here, and that's kind of the focus. Cast down literally means to be on the ground, to be at the lowest point. Right? Sometimes in life, we may feel that we're at the lowest point in our life, that the only place that we have to go is to look up, right? But being cast down, it says cast down, but not destroyed. So even though Paul may have been at his lowest point, feeling like he was had no other place to go, he was still in the game, amen? He was still in the game. He wasn't destroyed and he wasn't ruined. In the military terms here, you have, and Pastor and I think we're talking a little bit about this before, you have battles, right? That's the smaller part of the overall war, right? You have the war, but then you have smaller battles that kind of are going on in that war. So the enemy may have won a battle or two here by pressing Paul on every side and bringing him to his lowest point, but Paul kept his focus on Christ, and he was able to win the war. And that's what we need to do as well, right? We're going to have little battles in our life. We're going to have little skirmishes, little challenges here and there, things going on in our lives that are going to maybe pull us down. But we always need to remember, we might be cast down, but we're not destroyed. We're not left out, right? The Lord's not going to forget about us. We're going to win the war. We have the book here, right? We know who wins in the end, right? Amen. When we're in Christ Jesus, we're going to have some battles, but the enemy's not going to be able to destroy us. And we see that word for perish here in some familiar verses, right? John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not what? Should not perish, right? But have everlasting life. 2 Peter 3:9 says this, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, right? But that all should come to repentance. So when we trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, we can be assured, like Paul, that we're going to go through challenges, we're going to have difficulties, but we'll never be destroyed. Amen. Our soul will never perish. Satan will not win that war. He will not win that war. He can do nothing about that. So we must not be afraid to suffer for Christ. Jesus told us that the world would hate us if we followed him. And we're seeing a lot of that today. We're seeing a lot of persecution against the church, right? A lot of that escalated here these last couple months. But we need to be vessels willing to be broken, willing to let his light shine, and willing to suffer for the cause of Christ. Yet we need to be confident, right, when the challenges come our way. Though we might be troubled, we don't have to be distressed, right? Though we might be perplexed, we don't have to be in despair. We might experience some persecution, and we may be going through that right now, but we won't be forsaken. We might be cast down, but remember, we'll never be destroyed. So all of us have been able to enjoy a comfortable Christianity lately, right? Having things a little bit easy compared to some of the other persecutions going on around us, we may have had this comfortable Christianity. Our way of life has never been shaken and our faith has never been tested like it's been tested lately. But, you know, I believe those days of having that comfortable Christianity is coming to a close. And we must know what we believe, right? We must know God's word. We must be willing to put time into knowing God's word, not only with our head, right, but with our heart as well. And we need to stand for what we believe, and we must be willing to suffer that persecution if it comes down to that. I really have no clue what the future looks like for you, for me, for our country. But I do know one thing, especially in these days, we need to know the truth. We need to know God's word. We need to hold it close to us because this is all we have. Really, this is the truth. And they're trying to throw this away. They're trying to change our foundation and those kinds of things. But we know the truth. And we must be like Paul, right? We need to want to get it out, not hold it back, because we know what's right. And we need to stand up for what's right. Though we might be cast down, we can be assured that we will not be destroyed when we fear the Lord and know the truth, because the truth will set us free. Amen? Amen. Well, thank you for your time tonight. Pastor, if you'd like to come forward. If you'd like to stand with heads bowed, if you're able to stand, and eyes closed, have a time of invitation if the Lord spoke to you in any way. Pastor.
Amen. Before we pray, just as a reminder, that was tremendous and a great reminder to us that we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We're perplexed and not despair, persecuted but not forsaken, cast down but not destroyed. When the Apostle Paul is writing this, he is literally at the lowest part of his life. He has been working in the city of Ephesus at this time, and the city of Ephesus has just rebelled and kicked him out of the city. They were going to kill him. At this time, the churches of Galatia have now turned to a different gospel and saying that you are saved by faith, but you have to keep it. And he's so heartbroken. The church of Corinth has banded together in little camps, and they're even questioning his own apostleship. He's already written a letter to them and doesn't know exactly how they've responded, but hoping they've responded by faith. And he sent his other son of the faith, Titus, to go get a report. And Titus hasn't come back. Meanwhile, as Paul is traveling, he's in the city of Troas, and he gets sick, and he thinks he's going to die. He's at the lowest part of his life, and as he's thinking about that he is going to die, he thinks, as just looking humanistically, His whole life in ministry has been a failure. Every church seems to have been falling apart. The rebellion. Titus is gone. No comfort. And yet, it is in the midst of that, on his deathbed, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down and not destroyed. So the Apostle Paul, how can you do that in the midst of this hard time? Well, remember, as we've been hitting in Sunday school class, dealing with the idea of 1 Peter, that we are to develop the habit of obedience to Christ before the persecution comes. That's what the Apostle Paul has done, has developed a habit that I'm going to serve God no matter what the circumstances. As the preacher reminded us, we have a good amount of freedom still. Now is the time to develop the habit. Now is the time to keep pressing forward. So when those persecutions happen, we still press forward. When everything is at its lowest point, we still press forward. Meanwhile, the Apostle Paul, with all of these things going on his deathbed, started a church there in Troas. And God still used it to move it forward, even at his lowest point. With this is a decision and choice. You don't make this decision when you're in hard times. You make this decision before you're in hard times that I'm going to move forward. I am going to continue. I am, when those hard times coming, I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to quit. I'm going to follow after God with the Lord's helping me. I'm going to move forward. That's the decision that we're looking for tonight, is for you to make the decision that in those times, when they come, not if they come, when they come, you're not going to quit. When Satan starts putting the squeeze on you, you're not going to say, well, you know, I've had enough. But you're making a decision now that we're going to press forward, keeping our eyes on him, even if it seems like everything's falling apart, we're pressing forward. Because of him, we're looking at him, taking the next step, and the next step, and the next step. Thank you for listening to this audio message. This is Pastor Scotty Bockhouse, and I encourage you to take this information that you just received and make a specific decision to follow after the Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me beg you to take the time to receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are saved, I encourage you to make a decision in your life to help you get closer with the Lord. If there's anything specific we can do to be a blessing or to pray for you, we encourage you. Look us up on the internet at riverviewbc.com. Once again, that's riverviewbc.com. Or if you would prefer to call us, you can give us a call at area code 920-530-6308. Once again, that number is 920-530-6308. If there's anything we can do to be a blessing or an encouragement to you, please let us know. We would love to make ourselves available. Thank you.